Welcome to the Perfectly Sane Show, episode 514. I am Chris, as always, joined by Tony.
Suck it, Sony fans! Suck it!
All right, we're starting off with a console war partisanship right away. Earl is here.
Microsoft with the stupid delivery. They're taking the L.
Oh, yeah, that meme. And Jeff is here.
I am bipartisan.
I always need to buy.
You're third party. You're Nintendo.
I just love. You know what's funny is, like, since I don't consider myself a fan of any. Like, I don't give a shit anymore.
You just want to play games.
Yeah, it's like when someone says something to me, like about, you know. Oh, you know, Sony's better because of this, or Xbox sucks because of this. I'm like, I just don't, like, I literally don't care. Like, you can say whatever you want to me. Great. Okay.
Like, I mean, we are in, like, a, you know, a very privileged position of being able to play everything we want. So, but, yeah, it's so weird because, like, you guys are going to bitch back and forth over, like, what, 3 or 4 games a year?
Yeah.
Whatever. Most of the games we play are third party, so, you know, play where you like to play them. Play where your friends are.
And I have, you know, I have no stakes in this current round because I'm not getting either systems. I'm just like, yeah, yeah. If you say they both suck, if you say they're both awesome, whatever, man.
you're in a way.
I don't have to, like, justify my purchases because I'm not making any, like.
I don't have to justify my purchases either.
Yeah, I'm making fuck one. You, I'm buying them.
Yep, so pre-orders for the Xbox went up this week. Tony and I both secured a system.
I heard that went
so
a lot
stressful.
I heard it went a lot stressful. Smoother.
I mean, in the sense that everyone knew what time they were, and in an hour it was over, right? Like, instead of how Sony was, like, oh shit, like, Walmart's up. And then 45 minutes later, Target's up. And then what, at midnight, Amazon's up. It was like an 8-hour journey.
On the bright side, if you didn't get the PlayStation 5, you could be in Wave 2, which is tomorrow, which would be the day after yesterday when this podcast comes out.
Hopefully, you know, we were going to talk about that. And if you wanted a PS5, you were able to jump in on Wave 2. From what I'm hearing,
if
that,
you can't, suck it, Sony fans.
I hope you can't get it, to be honest.
just to piss people off.
Just because fuck you, that's why.
You're a bad person, Jeff. I am also a bad person.
I won't lie. Like, if Amazon puts one up and it's there, I might click order. Yeah. But if it doesn't, I'm fine too. Yeah, so, but before the Xbox pre-orders went up, the day before, we all woke up to some crazy ass news. Microsoft went and spent a lot of money and bought
$5 billion.
Yeah,
how much?
And bought $7.5 billion.
That's what I thought, somewhere around there. Yeah,
but to put it into context, that's somewhere between buying a Star Wars and a Marvel.
Yeah.
Yeah. Wow.
I think were they both $4 billion.
No, I think Star Wars, Marvel.
Star Wars was $4 billion. I remember that.
Yeah, and I think Marvel was 11 or something like that.
Okay,
wow,
somewhere in between. Yeah, like, they went and bought ZeniMax. ZeniMax Media. I'm not sure what they're, but most people refer to them as Bethesda, the makers of The Elder Scrolls and Fallout, and Doom and Wolfenstein. It's nuts. That's a crazy purchase.
Well, I mean, okay. I mean, from a purely business standpoint, I think the most insane part about it is, I don't know how much value a corporate merges. I'm assuming nobody does. It's never exciting. They pay cash.
Yeah, they did $7.5 billion in cash, not like
stocks or. Yeah. Like when Disney bought Fox, that's a combination of cash, liquidations, assets, all this other stuff. Microsoft was like, here's $7.5 billion. You report to us now. And that was it. That is insane.
Yeah, like that's more money than I can actually fathom in my head. And they just like, you know, back that truck up and we're like, here you go.
I could be wrong, but I think that's higher than the budget of New York City.
Oh, God.
That's
a lot of money.
Sure.
I mean, like, yes, think about it in that sense. But yeah, it's an insane amount of money. And just to get it out of the way, one of my favorite parts about it is like Microsoft announced this, and everybody's like, "Oh man, Sony needs to buy a corporation." Like, do people think like this type of money just grows on trees?
Yeah, like I don't think people understand. Like, Microsoft is one of the like five richest companies in the world. Their valuation is like way higher than Sony, and the fact that they had $7.5 billion sitting around. Like, just chilling that they could go buy this is nuts.
Yes.
And Sony can't just go and dump $7.5 billion for whatever.
I mean, one of the good things from Microsoft this year is Microsoft is a software company. So they don't get hit as hard by COVID-related stuff. I mean, if anything, they probably get more money because, like, I assume a lot of us have used like Office 365, have used OneDrive, have at Microsoft Teams.
Yep.
So, like, a lot of organizations have bought into the Microsoft suite. The flip side is Sony is a software entity. So like they've had no movies come out this year. There's no TV shows in production. So there's a lot of revenue that they have to either make up for or they're going to take a hit on.
Yep.
So even if they had it, it's not like it's the year for them to be spending money like that.
Yeah, and they're already spending money trying to do this global launch of their new system too. So
yeah,
like, yeah, they just can't go and buy a. You know, I think the people were like, go buy Konami, which also kind of crazy because Konami isn't. Like, from a gamer side, yeah, they're not doing anything with their IP. They don't make games really anymore, and what they do make is total trash. But Konami is quite solvent. They're doing very well.
Yeah, I mean, and it's a double-edged sword because you could buy Konami because they have a ton of IPs. The flip side of that is, like, they probably don't retain a lot of staff. I don't even there anymore. So you're buying IPs, which, yes, go for it, but then you'd have to create studios anyhow because yes, Konami, I think Sega's in the same boat. People don't realize like the bulk of their revenue actually does not come from video games. Even with their limited video game releases, they actually took a hit on video games last fiscal year. I actually looked this up after this announcement because Konami started to trend that day. So yeah, it's like yeah, I mean personally speaking, the other thing that doesn't make sense is. I mean, and this kind of works with Bethesda to a degree. Like, most of Konami's franchises are already associated with Sony. So, like, you would, like, it's like buying the cow even though you get milk for free. Because, like, Silent Hill, you think of as a Sony franchise. Metal Gear Solid, you think of as a Sony franchise. I actually don't even know what else you would get that's worth it.
Castlevania and Contra.
Yeah.
Contra, obviously, not worth anything after last year, so.
And Castlevania, it seems like it's a franchise you can buy, but it's not really worth anything unless the game's great.
Yeah, I think like Castlevania has its fans, Jeff, myself included, but it's not like a big, gigantic friend. None of Konami's franchises are. Like Metal Gear, for as popular as it is within the gaming community, isn't a massive franchise. Silent Hill, not a massive franchise. Like, it was big enough that it got a movie. We're not talking Resident Evil like numbers here.
Yeah, and that's the thing. It's like it's not, like there are companies out there that you can buy. Okay, I'm just gonna back up. I don't think it's a good idea for people to be buying companies in general. I'm not a fan of this. I'm from a personal standpoint, I'm not a fan of this like buying Zenimax. I think it's an awful, awful thing. I don't think, and this goes for Disney buying Fox. I don't think a consolidation of resources is ever a good thing in any field.
I agree. It just goes to show how like diseased brain like fucking fans, like game fans are, or whatever. It's like, well, Microsoft did like bought this company, so like Sony should do something too. Like, fuck, what is wrong with you?
What does that even mean? Why?
Yeah, why?
Like Sony doesn't it's have not a fucking ton of dick game measuring already.
But it is a dick measuring contest, and that's the problem. It's the problem. Okay, just to use another example, I don't know how much folks follow comic book movies. I mean, there was a thing that came out recently where people were mad at Geoff Johns for apparently sharing the Justice League script with people at Marvel. And like people, like DC and Marvel directors came out like, "Oh yeah, we're friends. We hang out. We discuss ideas." Like to us, it's not a competition, but to fans, it's like this war. It's like this bloody war, and it's like my side has to win. That means your side has to lose.
And it's just, I don't know. It's stupid. Like, you know, Sony's fine, but I also at the flip side of this is I do think it's funny the way like I've seen some Sony people like downplaying like this. Like this is absolutely a huge thing. Like for Microsoft to buy them. Like don't try to. Like although we don't know exactly what it means in terms of like what games are going to come out and what because they can't.
We know full well. Like
do we?
They're going to honor their agreements.
They have to. They don't have a choice. Yeah,
they have to legally, like, those are contracts that are signed, and then this shit is locked away on Xbox platform. And by that, I mean Xbox console, Game Pass, PC, and xCloud.
That's what I would do, but
to Jeff's point, even if we don't know what system it's going to come out to, we know which ones it will definitely be on.
Yes.
It might come, like, they might be, like, they throw Nintendo bones every so often, Cuphead's on the PS4. Like, you might get ports to other systems. It's possible, but we know exactly where it's going to be home to. Like, there's not going to be a game that's going to skip, like, Deathloop 2 is not going to skip out on the Xbox.
Right. Everything is coming to Xbox and PC coming out of these studios. And I just don't see, why you would push, you know, you spent $7.5 billion. I don't see why you would push the next Elder Scrolls or Starfield out on a PlayStation when you can be like, you want people to buy into your ecosystem. So
yeah.
unless Sony allows Game Pass on their system and that doesn't make any sense from Sony's side.
I mean, they could maybe, again, I don't know. It could be like Microsoft may be kind and be like, okay, we get it. It's on Game Pass in 6 months. A year later, you can get it on PlayStation. Like, they could throw people a bone, but there's no incentive for them to do that.
Right.
It's going to be like, you can get it on the Xbox, you can get it on a PC. Everything else is whatever.
The only incentive that Microsoft has for that is if Sony goes, hey, you know, in a year, can you throw us a bone? Like, we will give you money to bring it over here. Like, I think Sony would have to pay up to get that shit on their system because Microsoft's going to take a hit. Like, they'd have, like, if you put that stuff on their store, Sony takes 30% of their store revenue.
Yeah, but I mean, the flip side to that is then you do potentially open up to half the industry you wouldn't necessarily who just have a PS5 or whatever. So there is potential, but again, there's no incentive for them to do it. But I think the hope is like and part of it is a lot of these deals are already in place. But Microsoft has been pretty good about porting Minecraft to other systems, keeping that updated. You know, they've done it with Ori 1 and 2 for the Switch, Cuphead's on the Switch and the PS4. So, but again,
PS4 I don't think was published by Microsoft. I think that was actually published by the actual developer.
Oh, okay. But
I don't know.
No, but yes, and you know, Microsoft joked, like, I think somebody in marketing community joke that, like, do you think we have enough IPs for a Smash Brothers game now? I mean, that's a whole different thing. The one thing I will say, like, again, I'm not a fan of this but also from a business standpoint, is we've seen that Microsoft have bought studios in the past, and they're not, we haven't seen that they've been great at managing them so far.
I, 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 yeah. I will agree with that. Like I was going to say, I've seen people say like Microsoft has all these IPs and they do fuck all with them, and I'm like, honestly, I kind of agree. Like, like the one that hurts me a lot is Rare. Like, you bought Rare, and what the fuck did you do? Like, what are you doing with them? Like, I don't understand. Like,
let's look at Bethesda and say their last couple of years have not been awesome.
True.
When was the last great Bethesda release?
What do you mean by Bethesda release? Because Doom Eternal just came out, and that has like an 88 Metacritic, right? Like, so.
But it seems like fans did not like that.
I liked what I played of it.
I didn't love it. I beat it. I didn't love it. But see, there are other people that did.
The only things I've heard about it have been from you, and they've all been bad. And I know the recent Bethesda games I have played, I have not enjoyed.
You can play it for free soon, I guess.
Right. Now I can play them for free. I mean, if they can go through and fix like Fallout 76, if you can make that good, if you can like make the next Fallout game good, if you can make the next Elder Scrolls game not turn into what those other two games have become. I mean,
theoretically, Microsoft could help that. Like, you know, like they're a bigger company.
They could, in theory. Yeah. But like, even outside of IP management, like you mentioned, Rare's put out one game this generation. Halo Company has put out one game this gen?
No, they put out two games.
No, Rare
put out Battletoads.
Rare didn't do Battletoads.
No, they didn't do Battletoads.
But Rare did do. They did the Kinect Sports game.
Oh, okay.
That was this gen. There was one.
There was a Kinect Sports game at the beginning of this gen. Yes. They did Sea of Thieves.
Yes.
And Rare Replay.
The Gears Company has done two games.
Yes, that came in midway through this gen. They've done three games. They did the remake of Gears. They did the remake of Gears 1. That was their first game. Then they did Gears 4 and Gears 5.
Okay. And here's the thing. I'm happy that they give their studios time to develop, but it also seems like they take whatever it happened, whatever it is, there's no reason that Halo Infinite was announced, 2.5 years ago, and it's missing a launch.
Yeah, that's nuts.
I get that. But if it was Sony or Nintendo, they would have whipped that in shape. They would have thrown every resource they had to make sure that hit launch in a competent package. And the fact that Microsoft hasn't... Sea of Thieves was delayed several times. Crackdown... I was kind of a wet fart of a release.
Hey, I like
that. I'm not saying it's a bad game. I'm just saying that, do you remember when it came out?
Yeah, sure.
February of 2019.
And that had several delays as well.
Too many.
Many delays.
Too many, yes.
So, has that done anything else?
I mean, I think Crackdown is like the series they've been trying to make happen ever since the beginning.
Well, it was the right game at the right time, and it was bundled with that Halo.
Yes.
Crackdown, not a great game. The original was fun. It was a goofy, like, hey, here's an open world sandbox. It's fun to collect shit. But that's it. Like, that's what it is. That's all that game was, and that's all it's ever been. And
you get something, they weren't able to capitalize on Rise. Sunset Overdrive, they also Insomniac Games soon after that. It's a mixture of, now they have IPs they can focus on, but again, it's like, it's an IP management, and it's the fact that they haven't really shown that they are a competent first-party publisher, where it's like, okay, we're going to have this, where it's like, we're getting this rotation, we're getting the game signed up. Like, how many games did they drop this year?
Yeah, I mean, I guess this year would probably be a special exception, but like...
Why?
I don't know. I would give anyone leeway this year if they said, oh, we couldn't get it done on time because COVID.
Okay, how many games did they drop last year?
Let's see, I can tell you in one second.
Again, it was Crackdown, I think it was Forza Horizon. Gears 4 wasn't that. Gears 5 was last year.
So this year they have... Let's see. This year they have done... Ori and the Will of the Wisps. They have done Bleeding Edge, Gears Tactics, Minecraft Dungeons, Grounded, which is in early access, Microsoft Flight Sim, Battletoads, Tell Me Why, and in two 2 weeks, Age of Empires 3 Definitive Edition, and that's probably it.
Okay, I mean, not great. Not as bad as I thought, but not great.
Yeah, I think, like, Microsoft, just to put like a bow on this, I think Microsoft really has to show more this next gen, especially with all the studios they've acquired. Like, you gotta have some big RPGs and just fucking cool shit. Like,
well, I mean, they're gonna be way more than on the RPG.
Yeah, they have every style of Western RPG locked up. You want the top down isometric? They have that. You want first person like Bethesda, or Obsidian type? They have that locked down.
The only thing they need to work on is somehow buying BioWare from EA, and they'd be set.
You know, space, you know, stuff too, and it's crazy. They definitely have. They will have your RPGs. I don't know if they're going to be good, Jeff, but they will have RPGs.
You never know. They might say, Obsidian, you're making the new fucking Kinect Sports or, you know, whatever.
Well, I mean, well, we know Obsidian's making that Avowed.
Until it gets canned, like, what was that one RPG that I was looking forward to? Fuck, dude. I can't
think of it.
Scalebound, yeah.
Yeah, but that seemed to be more like that was a third party. They were dealing with what Platinum on that one.
Yeah,
and they just could not. They were not working back and forth. And from Microsoft's side, they say Platinum wasn't delivering on what they needed to deliver. And Platinum was like, "Well, we wanted more time." Like, okay, well,
I can kind of believe that. Bayonetta 3.
Yeah. You know, Playground Games working on Fable, but who knows what that's going to be. We'll see. I think there will be stuff.
It's time to put up.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, and I think, but yes, this I feel like this is the last gen for them. If they don't, like, I don't think they have to. Like, they don't have the best Sony. I think that's always the issue. People think it's like, again, people think of it as a competition. They just need to make it profitable for them, and this is one of the ways to do it. And they're also getting, getting a ton of IP. So I hope they know how to manage that. And I mean, really, the big thing is they are getting like 10 studios out of this. And I can't imagine they're all like focused. Like, I assume what's going to happen is a lot of the knowing stuff. Like, we probably won't get it like a Dishonored 3 or something like that. Or, you know, or maybe Rage is finally put to bed.
That would be fine. But I'd be, you know what? I want a revival of Quake. Give me that.
Well, I guess the thing is that Microsoft needs more shooters.
I mean, they don't, but if you could give me a Quake, like the, you know, like the remake that they, like the reboot of Doom from a couple of years ago, I think that would go over real well.
With Chris. I know it has his fans. But yeah, it's one of those things where like, I think there's a lot of genres they can focus on. I don't think shooters is one of them that they need any help in.
Bring me Quake.
Bring me fucking. I'm not even begging for Conker anymore. Bring me Banjo.
Well, I don't know if any of these studios are platform creators.
No.
Rare.
Yes, but
Rare has been given free reign to do whatever they want, and they make weird shit now. Like, it's not like Microsoft's going, go do this. Like,
put the rein on and fucking tell them you're making Banjo-Kazooie, motherfucker.
But outside of you and Fozzie, is there any want for that?
Yes. Dude, come on. Look how big the Crash Bandicoot, like, cash was. Like,
but was Banjo ever the size of Crash?
Yeah, I think Crash was a bigger franchise.
Me? Yeah, all right, yeah, I'll give you that. But fucking Banjo was a big deal.
Was it?
Yes, Banjo was a big deal. Come on. You guys been crazy?
I was watching a video the other day, and they said something that really stuck with me. Is that
Banjo was better than Crash. How about that? Fuck Crash.
Okay, that's fine. But what the video was saying was because the N64 has such a tiny lineup. I mean, I think it was just under 300 games. The good games that were really good, the people who own the N64 are really kind of territorial about that. And like how much they love it. But it's like,
You guys are selling the platform genre short here, I think. This is...
No, I'm not. I'm not selling it short. Like, I'm a YouTuber Mario friend. I know that platforms can sell millions and millions of copies. I think you just need to do... I think Banjo would do well, but I don't think it would do well as taking it from another game that Microsoft could put out. If you were to beg for a Microsoft franchise from Rare, it would be Perfect Dark.
I don't know. Last time wasn't so good.
It wasn't, but I mean, I think there's a much bigger market for shooters.
So Jeff, here is a. I mean, this is. This
oh,
is
how dare you! How dare you do this?
But as of 2007, Banjo-Kazooie, the first one, had sold more than 1.8 million copies in the U.S. Now, on the Crash side, by February 1999, 4.5 million copies of Crash Bandicoot.
Yeah.
As of November 2003, Crash Bandicoot had sold over 6.8 million units worldwide. So, yeah, it's way bigger than...
Yeah, but PlayStation was a bigger system for longer.
Which is the point we're making.
Yeah, it's kind of the point. It's not that there's not fans for Banjo. It's just like, is there a big enough, you know, on the Xbox too? Is there a big enough group of people that?
And you, all, yeah, and that's the other thing. It's like you get Crash, you get Spyro. They have a direct lineage from the PlayStation 1 to the PlayStation 4. There's a connection where Banjo would go from the N64 to an Xbox, and you don't necessarily know if there's. Like, I'm sure at this point there's people.
Dude, who are, the kids who grew up on Nuts and Bolts
would probably want some Nuts and Bolts too, not a Banjo because the Banjo 3.
Yeah, I don't think they want to collect it.
It's gonna be, and it's gonna be weird. There's going to come a time when people are nostalgic for Skylanders.
I don't know why you guys are poo-pooing them doing a Banjo. They should do it.
We're not poo-pooing it. We're just saying that like it's like there's nothing that points to it being a priority franchise for them to get back up and running.
Just to round out
Banjo sucks.
to round out your variety of games, like. And again, like I don't think they really care how much any of these games sell at this point. It seems to be it's all about Game Pass. So give a reason for the kiddos and dorks like me to want to play. I don't know.
But I mean, they do release platformers. It's not like they don't. Like, you know, they've released two Ori games. Cuphead. Like they've released platformers. It's
now, you know, if you were to say they should have focused on Banjo instead of Super Yucky Tail, yeah, that might have been. Yeah.
But, okay, thank you. Yeah, there you go. Like a perfect example right there. But it's that type of game. Like, just do it.
Oh, and Super Yucky Tail is another one. Did Microsoft buy this after the fact, or?
So they worked with whoever that developer was, and you know, it was exclusive for like a year, and then it came out on Switch last year. And now it's new Super Lucky's Tale, and it's available on fucking everything. Like it's not a Microsoft
game.
Yeah, it's not one of their franchises.
I need to give that game a chance again, and I want to try because there's like a newer version of it, right? Like
I would just play that one because it's just I just finished it. It's just a complete version of Super Lucky's Tale,
and that's on Game Pass, right?
Yep.
Yes.
So if you're gonna play one, play New Super Lucky's Tale because it has all the DLC just intertwined into the game.
Did you think it's good?
It's fine.
Yeah,
it's fine. There are really good like 2D levels, and like the more 3D open world levels, I think kind of suck, but.
Well, I think we're going to get into the fact that 3D platformers are not easy to make.
Yeah.
And it doesn't necessarily mean they age well.
Yes. We will get there, though, soon.
I know Earl is against it, but I Hat in Time, guys, like, is great. Anyways.
What was that, Jeff?
A Hat in Time is really great.
And I don't want to say I'm against it. I've not played the game. I'm against the concept of it because of the people.
You would love it though. Like it's like a great version of like the Mario 64 type platformer. Like it's that formula exactly, but with like
that's good.
Yes, well, I mean Mario 64 is good, but you know what I mean. Like it feels Okay, well, we'll get into that. But
we can get into that too.
It feels like modern. Like the controls feel really good. It's got great personality, music. Like it's got like it's that type of platform. Like it's one of the few non 3D Mario platformers I think like lives up to what like a Mario platformer is. Maybe a little bit below it. Like I don't want to like totally oversell it, but like it's above any of the other
probably imitations.
Oh, Jesus Christ. This is going to be a brutal night.
Yeah, do we got anything else to say on the Bethesda acquisition, though?
I mean, I think Jeff may mention it, but just to kind of make it official, part of the, I mean, it's not surprising, but part of the initial purchase is Doom Eternal, which came out this year, will be on Game Pass starting October 1st.
Nice.
Oh, sweet. I didn't notice that.
When are the rest of the Bethesda games going up?
I don't know. I think they already mentioned Doom Eternal today.
Yeah, I saw that earlier today. I was like,
a bunch of them are already there.
Yeah, I mean, like Dishonored, I think, is already up there. And,
Fallout 76 is already up there. There's,
I guess my last note on it is I saw a lot of people say, "Oh, now they can make Fallout New Vegas too," and I don't know if that is really what it means, but I would co-sign onto that idea.
That's a good idea. Like if you want to unleash it,
definitely.
I would not be against like Obsidian being in charge of Fallout from now, right? Like,
yeah, they understand that kind of universe better than Bethesda.
But I was also gonna say, if you're Obsidian and you got away, and would you not prefer to make your own original IP?
Yes.
No, I mean,
I guess
totally
we'll see
cool.
What happens with Avowed, right? Like, if Avowed comes out and it's like, this is sketchy, go do Fallout because you're better at that.
I would also be totally fine with Outer Worlds too. Like, I thought that game was awesome.
It's a bigger budget Fallout version of that, right?
Yeah, totally.
Although I Earl, I think I saw you tweet this out that Microsoft can now do like a Smash Brothers type game.
I think hero shooters are a big thing now. Overwatch.
Yes, I think that would be. It's a great idea.
Yeah, I think a hero shooter makes much more sense than like it's the same thing I said with Sony and PlayStation All Stars Battle Royale. It's like that doesn't make any sense for Sony. Smash Brothers makes sense for Nintendo. It's a bunch of platformers. You're jumping and punching. It makes total sense. Microsoft, it would not make any sense, but a hero shooter? Yes, like, give Master Chief, give Dom and Marcus some of their stuff. Give Doom Guy something. Dust off Jonah Doc. You have a ton of shooter personalities now.
Yep. BJ Blazkowicz from Wolfenstein. A ton of stuff they could do with.
They have Conker. I mean, technically, he can
do shooting too.
Yeah.
You can throw poop at people.
And then we can be like, Jeff, you got more Conker.
There you go. That's the closest we'll ever get.
Last time I played Conker, I was like, you know what? I don't give a shit anymore.
It's not as like it's good. It's not bad. It's just like it is, and we will get into that when we get into the Mario collection, but maybe they don't age great.
We'll get into it.
They're fine. All right. There's some other news as well.
oh boy!
Amazon has announced their cloud gaming. So they've announced their Stadia, their X Cloud, their PlayStation
what?
Now, Amazon Luna.
Okay. So, and I should have looked this up ahead of time. This is not Amazon's first foray into video game, right?
No, they've dabbled here and there, yes.
They tried like the Fire TV as like so this is like their second or third. I mean, because they also have the Amazon App Store.
So I guess the Fire TV games were more like mobile type games. You could buy a controller and play them that way.
But there was a device for it as well, or was it just the?
It was the controller, and you could play off of like your Fire TV stick or whatever. I don't.
Yeah, it was weird. I just remember it happening.
Yeah.
So I was like, I think they've done, like, when they said, I'm like, I feel like they've done video games before, but this is
different.
Yes. Okay. I'm it off the bat. This is a much better investment than Stadia. I think they much easier ask me to spend $6 a month to stream games than it is to ask me to buy video games that I don't own. Yep.
premium. This is more the Netflix model than what Stadia is.
Yes. Because as comparison I made with Stadia when I was talking to a friend, that's why people are a bit more excited for this. Stadia is going to get Moana Disney Plus. I'm not going to pay for your service and then have to pay you for a thing I don't own. Yes. Where it's like, I have no problem subscribing to Disney Plus. I'm not giving you $30 more for Mulan. So if Amazon's like, oh yeah, here's $6, you get these games, you don't get to own them. I'm like, okay, I accept that. I'm renting them for a month.
Yep. So I guess here's the highlights from what you popped into the chat here. Introductory price, $6 a month, or $5.99. 4K, 60 frames per second for select titles. Available on PC, Mac, and iOS. I got a question about this. Like, how is Amazon able to do this, but Google and Microsoft cannot?
That's an interesting question.
They might have to revise that whole iOS thing in a couple months.
Because I imagine. I really want to try like xCloud on my phone.
Well, I mean, and this is not related, but it is somewhat. There are companies that are banding together to sue Apple. Epic is part of that. I think it's like Epic, Spotify, and some other companies for some of their practice. But yeah, it's also weird that it's not on Android when Amazon is a big part of Android. Like again,
yeah. The Fire tablets are Amazon power. They're Android powered.
Yeah, and like I said, Amazon App Store, which I think is still around but not as relevant, was pretty big until like the Play Store kind of became the de facto Android marketplace. Yeah, and then like, you know, there's a bunch of games. It's going to be in beta soon. There's a Resident Evil 7, Control, Panzer Dragoon, A Plague Tale, The Surge 2, Grid. So you know, there's a bunch of decent games.
They're big titles, yeah.
The flip side of, and I guess this is also how Netflix works. Most of these are from a year or two east. Like, sure. I don't see it having the Game Pass thing where you're getting games day.
So I full disclosure here. I signed up for the
beta.
Yeah, for the beta. I don't know if I. You know, it's a rolling invite, so they took all my information, and hopefully I get in at some point. But next to the, you know, the Luna side was Ubisoft is coming at some point. So I wonder if, like, Ubisoft has their own kind of subservice as well on PC, where I think you do get new games from them. So,
yeah.
Like, if you have to add, like, you know, $6 or $7 on to get the Ubisoft stuff, but you get that day and date, that could still be worth, like, $11, $12 a month.
Yeah. I mean, I think, like I said, I think it's a much, much better investment as far as, like, yeah, I'll, whatever, $7 a month to get this.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I'm curious to see what it is. I mean, I think it's a better deal than Stadia. I think when we talked about Stadia, my reservations with Stadia still remains the same thing with this. It's that the infrastructure in this country is not here for streaming platforms. Like, that is just a fact.
you'd only do this if you wanted the game cheaply. And
you had a very good connection somewhere.
Yes, and those kind of people don't really exist, right? It's... Like, where is the market for this game? I don't understand, or this system. I don't understand what it would be.
I'm interested to see if, like, I'll be able to do it on, like, just my phone network. Now, I know, like, some plans have, you know, there's still data caps on phone plans. But there are a lot of unlocked data plans as well now, so... I do wonder, maybe that makes it a viable option. Like, you know, cause almost everybody has a phone. So if you can do it through your phone service and it works, maybe that'll you know, tides it over. Who knows? Did they show any of the Twitch integration? It sounded similar to the Stadia stuff which I still haven't seen. It works.
Is there a trailer? I've just seen like information. I've not actually seen
it. Yeah, just the information. I didn't know if they showed anything because they said Twitch integration where you're watching somebody, you know, stream a game, and then you can just click from there and it will take you right into playing the game.
I think we were offered that at the start of this generation too or something like that. Or like it was like, oh, like your buddy's playing, you can hop in right as where they are, and I'm like, I think we get offered that way too often. It never comes to
it. Never works. And like Google offered it with Stadia, like, oh, you can watch a YouTube video of somebody and like you want to play it, you can just jump right into your game. And it's like, it doesn't work that way at all. But maybe Amazon's figured something out. I don't know.
I think everybody would have figured it out is Google, at least because YouTube was integrated where like I don't think Twitch is owned by Amazon. They just work together.
Twitch is owned by Amazon.
Okay, it is owned by Amazon.
Yeah, they are a division of Amazon.
And the one thing I will say, and I was surprised by, and maybe it will still come, I'm surprised they did not find a way to work this into the Amazon Prime subscription in some fashion.
I'm sure they'll figure that if it's successful, they'll.
Or if it's not successful.
Right.
Right. Yeah, I wouldn't doubt that they tie it in to, because right now if you have Prime, right, you get like free stuff with Twitch. You can, you know, I guess you get a free sub each month that you can, you know, give to somebody. Plus you get the free games on Twitch Prime. So I'm sure they will find a way to work it in, but maybe this trial run, just like, we're going to make sure this shit works first. Who knows? It's interesting. I like the look of the controller. I guess you wouldn't need that controller, though.
I mean, I guess just though.
It's like the Switch Pro.
Yeah.
Very much. I mean, all controllers look the same now, but like that really looks like a Switch Pro.
Yeah, with the like kind of, you know, the handles that come down being a different gradient. I think Earl took a look at his Pro controller and the sticks are different. They're more like an Xbox controller and the button layout is more like an Xbox controller. But.
Which, I mean, makes sense. I mean, that has become the de facto, even though it should technically be the Switch way.
That Switch Pro is like great controller, dude. Really great controller.
I'm also a fan of the Joy-Con, but
don't like it. Well, I would probably use it sometimes, but it's just every Joy-Con I have, the left one doesn't work.
Yeah, that's a problem they really should have fixed almost 4 years in.
Yeah, it's like crazy how we've accepted that because it's it prevents me from using the system in ways that it's meant to be.
Like, I find it's not an issue when I, cause really, it's not an issue. I mean, it's partially, but it's kind of an issue with the distance too, because it's usually not an issue if I play it handheld.
It's an issue when it comes to, when you play a handheld, it doesn't do it. Like, it works fine.
Yeah.
But I'm saying when you attach the Joy-Cons, it's especially an issue with Mario Party, dude. Like it's just,
It's an issue with
or Mario Kart.
Any game that has like dedicated movement, it's an issue. The fact that kind of like people complain. I mean, I know everybody who's had issues with it. It's just like, oh, you send it in, it's not a. It's like, yeah, it kind of is. But yes, that is here, in or there. What else news did we have this week?
I think that was all the big news, right? Like, was there anything else?
I thought there was something else. Was there some? I thought there was something announced today. Oh, the Yakuza movie. There's a Yakuza movie in the works.
Yeah.
I found out today there's a Yakuza movie in Japan that came out in 2007. So yeah, that's a thing. I am looking forward to the movie being about a white man who moves to Japan and has to work his way into the Yakuza in some fashion.
Definitely gonna be that. So
probably gonna be that. Yes.
I guess that the other piece of news that dropped is the expansion cards for the Xbox. They announced the price of those.
Yeah, oh, those cheap.
Yeah, for real cheap, affordable for everyone. $220 a piece for 1 terabyte.
But you can get. Although you don't have to get proprietary ones, right?
I don't know.
Yeah, they haven't announced anything on that yet, have they? All we know is the price of this particular thing.
How? Okay, maybe I should pay attention to this. I mean, part of it is because I'm not getting it this year. I feel like it's still weird that we know so little about systems that are launching in the next, in roughly 6 weeks.
So, let's see. External hard drives with USB 3.1 and 3.2 connectivity will work, but all Series X games have to be installed to the internal SSD or the Seagate card. So it looks like it is just these that they are not... there's not a second, like maybe at some point there will be third party ones, but well, Seagate's third party, but another third party. But right now it seems that, yeah, they this is it. This is your option for extra storage on extra SSD storage on the Series X. And it's funny because like this is shit. Like it's a fucking. It makes the console $720 if you want an extra terabyte of space, and it's like this isn't good news. Like after Microsoft has kind of killed it the last couple of days with news, this is kind of shitty.
Yeah, I saw Pete Skerritt getting mad about it, and like I agree with what you're saying. It's like. I don't know. Storage shouldn't be this much of a pain in the ass at this point, honestly. And the games are so big that you need to have a really decent amount of storage. Like it's quite simple.
I do like that. You know, I will still just be able to take my external that I have for my Xbox now and plug it in. Like for the the original Xbox 360 and Xbox One games, I can play off of there. But if I want to get the extra. The special shit, I gotta move them over to the hard drive.
You know, and new games that you're gonna be buying are gonna be Series X or whatever, so it's they're gonna have to go on the SSD.
Yeah.
And that's not a lot of space for the how big games are now. Like, so depends. It's a fucked up thing.
I keep hearing everybody complain about that, but my son has like 30 some games on the Xbox that he uses, and he doesn't have an external drive. And I mean, he has Call of Duty installed. He has
is
like
30 games. A lot though, too. Like I don't know.
I mean, 30 games. Right.
30 games is more than like you're accessing on a regular basis.
Right. So. I probably have a good 150 games installed right now. Yeah. I'm like that's not enough space, but you know that's more games than I could ever play in my entire life.
Most people are buying Madden, Call of Duty, and like maybe a couple other games, and that's what they play. Like. We are the weird anomaly.
Yep.
I don't know.
My son's a weird anomaly. The fact that he has 30 games installed and he doesn't play them all. Like sometimes he's going through and like, why do you have this on here? Oh, I played it like twice. It's like 4 months ago. So most it's like we're weird, Jeff. We are weird in that we have like a lot of games and we install a lot of games that we want to just jump into.
It just feels like at this point I shouldn't have to be doing the like rotation thing. Like, okay, I'm gonna delete this stuff off the drive. I should have it all accessible at any time.
And I get that, especially if for an all digital platform. It's not like, you know, like you can pop the disc in. I mean, that's not even the case this gen. I remember like back in the Wii days where it's like, oh, you have to arrange the fridge. It's like, yeah, no, nobody makes a big deal about it now because, like, yeah, like I mentioned before, like Halo Master 100 and something gigs. Call of Duty Warzone is what, 125?
Yeah.
So it's like, and I assume games are going to get bigger and bigger with like 4K assets. And what I do expect is probably stuff like more like we see with PC, where you're able to like pick and choose. Like you won't need 4K assets for Xbox Series S games.
Right. And you can, you know, if you already have an external drive, you can just play them off of that as well. So, what's the other thing here? You just mentioned about the, installing games, and the other bit of news, and this is cool news is, you can pre-install any game, on the Series X, I guess.
which I think is pretty great. I think it's something I hope Sony's doing or going to. I remember one of the first, literally the first time I got my Xbox One. I remember complaining about the fact that it took me almost all day to install Halo Master Chief Collection.
Yep.
And that is not fun. I mean, granted, that wouldn't have changed because I was just buying the system. But the fact that now you kind of pre-install this, hopefully some day one updates or whatever, and you can, if you're a parent, you can like set up your system and get your kids' downloads all set up so they can go through games instead of having to sit down there and wait all day, update.
Yep. I don't know if you caught that, Jeff, but even if you're buying a disc-based game, you can pre-install it.
Yeah, I think it's awesome. That's cool. Like, how necessary is that? I don't know, but it's neat.
It is very necessary, though, because I'm sure you bought games, and it's like the install time's like half an hour.
Right. What you do is you'd order the disc copy, like I do now, and when it arrived, you would just put it in and be able to play it immediately.
It's cool. Are you gonna remember to do that every time? I don't know.
Well, I mean,
why would you not? Like, when I have a game coming, I'm like, I can't think about anything else. How would you not?
True.
Or here's another thing.
A lot of the reason I pre-order stuff is so that it's downloaded and ready to go. You know.
Yeah, but that's what I'm saying.
Same deal. Like
for digital, it's not a big deal because like you pre-owed. But for physical disc, like, or even something like this, because like you know, like I think PlayStation and Xbox allow you to control your system remotely. Let's say you pick up a game at Amazon or Target. And you're like, okay, I'm going to the pre-owed as I'm buying a game. So when I get home, if it's not done, it's just in the process of being done sooner.
Yep. Yeah, because like, you don't want to go and buy, you know, let's use Call of Duty Black Ops Cold War. You don't want to go and like buy that or have it show up and then you don't get to play it for 3 hours because it's downloading and updating and... If you can get all that taken care of ahead of time, then like as soon as you get that disc, you pop it in and you can jump right into to Team Deathmatch or whatever. So I guess, you know, good news with being able to do that. Bad news with $220 SSD cards. But I think that's it for news.
Well, the only one thing I wanted to say, and this is really minor news, but it's just kind of funny, is Nintendo did announce and release a new Kirby game in like the hours of the night. So
it just came out of nowhere, right? Like,
yeah. Well, I mean, it was leaked on Tuesday via Nintendo's website, and then we're like, they're going to announce it sometime soon, and then like 10 p.m. last night, 10 p.m. Wednesday night, Nintendo's like, there's a new Kirby game out, it's ready to download. Bucks. So
that's too bad, pretty cool.
Too bad if it were a real Kirby game, I would have like actually been like, "Oh, that's awesome!" But it looks like it's just some bullshit.
It's like Smash Brothers, but for Kirby. Smash, right?
It's a Smash.
I already have. Like, it's called Smash Brothers. It has Kirby.
Yeah, but I think it's nice to diversify the digital offerings. I think this is a really nice avenue to do it. It's a smart way to reuse assets. And I think people always forget that the Kirby developers are the actual creators of Smash Brothers.
I know, so, but it seems redundant. Why would I play this over?
Yeah, because you're really into Kirby, Jeff.
I think it's cute. I think it's a nice alternative. I think it's $20. It's kind of like a graduation game. Like, it's the game that you play if you're not good at Smash Brothers to kind of understand the core concepts. They could take this match.
So this is a game for me.
Yeah, it's. I mean, I love Smash Brothers. I am not good at it because I half the time do not know what's going on the screen. I'm just pounding buttons and hoping.
For
$20, I think you know. Again, it diversifies the lineup and it just reuses assets from Star Allies from last year. So I assume it doesn't take a lot of resources. It's a game that originally came with Planet Robobot.
On the 3DS, right?
The 3DS. And then that became a standalone game, and then this is the sequel to that.
Nice. Well, I am always down for surprise releases, and $20 isn't bad. Like that's why you play this, Jeff. You play this for, if you don't already own Smash, it's $20.
I know, but I would just I would buy Smash. I would. Yeah, I don't want just Kirby characters. Fuck this. Well, I would love a new Kirby, though. I would pay more than 20 for a new Kirby.
You got a new Kirby last year.
And it was pretty good, just by the way. I thought.
You're saying you would take another one.
I mean, they're always different.
It would be one thing if this was like a Metroid game where we hadn't seen Metroid in like 3 or 4 years. It's like, we got Kirby ass yet. Like, Kirby's a very consistent franchise for Nintendo. You'll get one soon enough.
Bring back that one, I think it was on the Wii U, where you like drew on the screen.
Yes, cool. Rainbow Curse.
It was a cool
Rainbow Curse or Rainbow game. Blood. There's a DS or 3DS version of that as well. But yes, I enjoy that it's a surprise announcement. I like that it's just kind of like Nintendo's just kind of messing with their fans at this point. It's like, yeah, we could drop games that's out in 2 weeks. We could drop games that are out in, right now.
Drop Metroid Prime Collection tomorrow. Just do it. I don't give a shit. I'll buy it.
Well, I mean, the thing is, you want revisit Metroid Prime. I mean, I guess we can transition to.
I want to just hold Mario 3D All Stars for a moment.
I want to hold it forever.
We have some other games. I see you have a list of other games here, Earl. Jeff, did you play anything besides 3D All Stars this week?
No, I did not. Okay. Anyone else that did is wrong.
We're skipping you. Tony, did you play anything that wasn't 3D All-Stars this week?
I finished Avengers.
Okay. What did you end up thinking?
We're skipping Tony.
come on.
Why are we skipping? I don't love it. It's not awesome. It's fine. But it's just fine. Like, and I feel like the biggest problem with the game is it forgets what makes superheroes fun. Like, it spends so much time in its destiny loop that you kind of miss out on all like the fun character building and story elements that you're used to having in a comic book and a comic book game.
I agree fully with that. Question for you, do you think you'll go back and level up your heroes? No,
absolutely not. I just got the achievement for getting 5 heroes at level 5. Mm-hmm. I think I'm probably done.
Yep, I'm with you on that. That's where I'm
A question for you too, because you both have kids and you... Did any of your kids play it, and what did they think of the game?
My son started it.
Yeah.
And he quickly moved off of it.
See, I can see my kids actually liking it. The trouble is that the campaign, like my kids play on my Xbox profile. So I played through the campaign and it doesn't look like you can like start it over from the beginning. Like, I'm not really sure. What I'm supposed to am I supposed to take the game and install it again? I don't know what I.
Yeah, like that should be a new rule with the next generation. Is every game needs like
multiple slots?
Every game should have the fucking Fallout save system where you can like have 100 slots.
We will get to Mario shortly, but I would be okay with having something like Sunshine or 64, where it's like there are different game slots that you could choose from and play off of there.
Like you got four.
Yeah, three or four different slots. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. We figured this out in 1996, and for some reason, like, I don't know what happened. Like, I find that really annoying. By the way, another side thing that I find super, super fucking annoying is, let's say I have someone over and I want to play Tony Hawk with them. They need a profile on the Xbox to play with me.
Yeah, I know. Like,
that is poor shit, dude. That's not how multiplayer should be.
Xbox 360 allows you to have a guest, right?
Yes.
Now you actually have to have an account.
Yeah. I mean, it's so...
No, I still see people, like when I play Halo Master Chief Collection, I still see people that are like... So like if I were to have somebody to play with me, it would just be a guest and they would be like Korea 9-2.
Yes. Yeah. It really depends on the game. Yeah.
So my kids really like the Plants vs. Zombies Garden Warfare games. Mm-hmm. And the first two, you could have a guest profile sign on. The third one, they can't play together because they don't have a profile.
Yeah, Tony Hawk, to play two-player Tony Hawk on the same screen, having two profiles is ludicrous. Yeah, like it's insane.
I get that they want you to have a profile. Like, I understand why they do. It's just inconvenient for consumers.
Especially your kids are younger. Like,
yeah, you know, I'm not giving my 7-year-old an Xbox Live profile. That's insane.
Exactly. Like, my son is, you know, he's going to be 15 in a week. So he can have his own profile. That's fine. and I will give Xbox, and I believe Sony does this as well. You know, I am the one that has gold, but like I've made the box my son plays on is the home box. So he gets all the benefits of gold. Like he can play all my games. He can play them all online. He doesn't need his own gold profile. Like he just gets the benefits of gold as for being part of the family.
Right.
So that is nice, at least. It's not like, oh, well, I have to buy a second gold account as well. You don't have to do that, at least. But your sons are not old enough for that. All right. Earl, you have the most here. Super Mario Picross.
So it is the Nintendo Switch Online service updated this week with the new Super Nintendo games, which included Donkey Kong Country 2, something else, and Scat. I just remember Scat because I really think they should rename that. And Mario Picross, Super Mario Picross, which is the first time this game has been released in North America. Honestly, I've tried Picross before and I just never got it. So I wanted to try something out yesterday. Because I don't know if you've used a Nintendo or Super Nintendo app on the system, but on a native app or whatever else, online multiplayer, so you can play with a friend. So we're going to do Donkey Kong Country 2, and I forgot that Donkey Kong Country 2, like a lot of platforms back then, is two players, but it's essentially a one-player game with a sidekick who you could tag in and out. So you don't play together, don't really. It's just kind of one person sitting around till the other person dies or the level ends, and then you switch over to the next person. So, I mean, it's fine, but it's not super fun. So, I mean, we were still on the app, and I saw this, and I know my friend was in the pit cross. I'm like, oh, let me give this a try. And, I mean, it's a very simple, it's free way there in pit cross. And I started playing this, and I just got really addicted to pit cross in the last 4 hours, which is why another game on my Pixel Puzzle Collection, which is a Konami pit cross game on the mobile devices. Right. Yeah. And I spent like 2 hours last night just playing Picross games. Well, playing this one, and I played Mario for a bit. As far as I can tell, it has nothing to do with Mario. Like, Mario and Wario are in there as like characters you see and talk to, and like the backgrounds for picking stages has like Mario and Luigi and stuff like that. But outside of that, like the pictures you create or the pictures that are formed out of your puzzles are not Mario related at all. The first few are Kaijin. Japanese letters. And then it's stuff like you get animals like there's dolphins, there's mermaids, there's wolves. Then there's stuff like a mailbox, and a house. It's like none of this is Mario related at all. I don't know. Like the music's not Mario themed. It's just a face over a game. Like it's just like, oh yeah, Mario cool sell this for us, and that's what they did.
And how are you enjoying the Konami mobile Picross?
I'm enjoying the Konami one. Picross, as far as I can tell, is Picross once you get it. But this one's different because, I mean, it's actually, like, video. Like, it's 8-bit sprites and stuff, or pixels, I guess, of, like, retro characters and stuff like that. And then, like, you'll have, like, traditional Picross in this game is either 5x5 or 10x10. Then you'll have, like, boss encounters, which are 15x15 squares. You get a certain number of hints. Like, it's free to play, and then, like, you could buy stuff or there's a ton of ads. You can unlock it to get rid of the ads and stuff like that. But yeah, it's really good. The only thing I have issues with sometimes with it on the phone, especially with the 15x15, is like those little boxes are so tiny to touch with my finger that sometimes I end up like you don't get penalized for it, but like I don't trying to get a specific box in your fingers is just hitting everything but the one you want.
I can see that being annoying.
Get smaller fingers, Earl, obviously.
I will try. I will try.
I mean, I could get like a grinder. We could stand it down for you.
Jesus. EDF 4.1.
You mentioned
Earth Defense Force before. Yes.
I just wanted to point it out that I did end this week. The final few missions are kind of tedious. Because it's like goes from a game where you just kind of shoot an overwhelming number of stuff and it's very fun. to like, there was one that one like, we just kept we were not able to win, and eventually we got paid up by the rando who's just given us a strategy, which is basically to avoid the combat, like your enemies out one by one, because like it's a and oddly enough, it's not the final boss. It's kind of like a boss rush stage where like all of the big bosses of the game. It's like you know, there's different types of enemies, and then it's like a huge evolved form of that enemy. So like we had the black dragon, which just takes forever to kill. We had two giant spiders, at the giant wasps, giant ants, and stuff like that. And the whole strategy is like to draw the dragon, because the dragon takes forever. It took like 20 minutes of just unloading snipers, rockets, turrets, anything we had, and it still would not go down. And in a typical battle, you're fighting that, and then you're fighting everything else. So you draw it alone, you fight it, whatever. And then the final battle is just like, whatever. And it just ends. It ends, and it's like, congratulations, you beat the game. Like, no cutscenes, nothing. It's just like, okay, we went through, I think it's something like 105 missions, and this is the end of the game.
This is all we get? Come on.
Yeah.
Is 4.1 a new system? Like, is it a current gen game?
It's on the PS4, but it's not the most recent one. There are two ones after that. Okay. So we're looking at doing that next, because Earth Defense, I mean, I guess right now, we don't talk about this often. Sony's having a big in Japan sale right now. So a bunch of like, big Japanese published games are on there, and Earth Defense Force 5 and Earth Defense Force Iron Sky, Iron Insects, which is the Americanized version of Earth Defense Force, are both on sale for like $20 to $30. Like Earth Defense Force Iron, whatever, looks better. But I want the jank. Like this is just like a mindless game. I want the jankiness. I don't want to actually like have really great graphics and all this other stuff.
What? What is, I don't understand what you just
said. I mean, we're also, you know, Earl also watches a bad movie every week. So
this is true.
But yes,
not good bad movies either. Bad.
But, I mean, I watch good bad movies too. I watch all types of, and I don't call them bad movies. I call them questionable movies because I don't know their quality before I watch them for the most part.
When are you doing your? Are you like doing like those horror movies that people gave you? Like, are you doing that in October or something?
Yes, but those are actually good movies. I hope.
I mean, the one I told you is like good bad.
But yes. But spooky season starts October 1st, and then the whole idea is technically to watch 31 movies in a month, but yeah. I'm home all of October, so I'm going to try to break my record of 47.
Wow.
Yes. I got to watch it. Like, horror movies are great to do it because they're like 75, 80 minutes if you find some really questionable ones. So like, I used to just put them on in the background. You can watch them throughout the course of the day. Anyhow, tangent.
Yep.
So, Sunset Overdrive.
Yes.
I mentioned this before whenever he's come by, and I mentioned this on Twitter. I had a surprise visit by my nephew this weekend. My brother had to do something, so he dropped him off Saturday morning. And my nephew has to visit me because I have a ton of video games. And he plays video games because I don't have to babysit him, put him in front of a TV for 8 hours. Problem is, he has no attention span whatsoever with these video games. And, kind of tying to Jeff's point earlier, for me, it's never been an issue. I did not realize how much of an issue it is to have all these games digitally, because he gets bored and he just can go through the digital library and find something else. And there's just a bunch of games installed. And he went through a bunch of games. But I'm only going to focus on Sunset Overdrive for two reasons. It's one game that he actually did end up asking me to help him with specifically. Two, it was the one that he actually stuck around with for like an hour and a half. And playing that game, because I've never finished it. I'm like, I want to go back to it now because I forgot how good that game feels. Like, it has such a great sense of movement.
Yep.
The weapons are fun and creative. It's colorful. Like, it's still, I mean, granted, it's not that old, but like visually, it still holds up. I mean, the worst part of the visual is the enemy designs, and that's just an art choice. You know, like, it has a sense of humor, but it's not like in your face obnoxious like a lot of humor based games tend to be. Looking at you, Borderlands.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and we had a little bit was fun. Like, the problems the issue he was having is the part at the like ascend the skyscraper by essentially connecting hooks across the building and going from one side of the building, and like he would get to it, but like he kept on like off the building and stuff like that. So he wanted to have me help him traverse it and stuff like that. And then later on, you get to the point where you're traversing and having to attack enemies. And so some of that stuff he has issues with. And I always forget sometimes, especially, you know, he's 8. He does not have adult-sized hands or anything like that. It's like using the controller, like you don't, like they don't necessarily have access to all the buttons at all the times and stuff like that. So, like, I would watch him, and sometimes I would cringe because he's like shooting stuff, but he can't do the do analog. So he's like his character back and forth, but like his character's just moving in a straight line.
That's funny.
Yeah, so it's stuff like that. And then he played Burnout, which he was also a huge fan of. I feel bad. Well, not feel bad. He's such a huge fan. He's like, oh, I want to see if, because he has a PlayStation 4. He's like, I want to see if it's on PlayStation 4 and have my daddy pick it up for me. I'm just like, when my brother came to pick up, I'm like, you have fun with that. So, so yeah. And this is, I'm sorry for talking so much. I'm sure I do it every week. But this is not on my list. But
you actually, do. We're not surprised.
This is, I think I mentioned this several weeks ago. I was playing a game called Over the Alps.
I don't remember this one. No.
Okay, so it's a visual novel where you kind of are corresponding with somebody via postcard, and you pick responses, and depending on your responses, different stuff, like different. I don't even say actions play out because a lot of it is told through this postcards, and you're assuming what's going on in your head. So I went back to that because I was like halfway done, and I'm like, let me just finish the chapter. And it actually gets really good. Like, you do start to feel for the character, and you start to make decisions based off of how you picture this character in your head. One of my game though is like the villainess of the game. Like, I blew up a lab that she was in, and somehow she escaped that. I'm like, okay, I've killed you like 3 times. How are you still after me? And eventually, spoilers. I won't spoil it, but I think it is fun. I think it's cute. I don't think I would have paid. I think I spent $13 on it. For like $6 or $7, I pick it up. I think it's a fun adventure in that regard, and it's a good way to kill like two, three hours.
So what's that on?
I got it on.
Okay. Before we jump into Mario 3D All-Stars, I played WWE Battlegrounds.
Yes,
Game of the Year.
Because as far as I know, there are still not a ton of reviews on Metacritic for this.
Yeah, I'm not sure why. I guess they just didn't release review copies out there. It's fine. So there's some, you know, I've seen some complaints from people, especially the day it came out, where like, oh, it's a money grab. You know, that there's like 65 or 66 wrestlers, and you start out unlocked with like 25 of them. And as you play, like you earn these, you know, you earn like a currency that you can buy new characters with. And there's also, you can also pay real money for them as well. I think people should go through the campaign if they're going to play it, because you can unlock characters that way too. So I think by the time I'm done the campaign, I'll have unlocked about half of the characters, and I will have enough money to buy like another, you know, quarter of them from earning the in-game currency. So I'll have almost everybody unlocked by, you know, the time I get to the end of this. Anyway, game is super arcadey. You know, if you've seen the trailers for it, that's what it looks like. It is a button masher through and through. Like, there's a button for punches. There's a button for kicks. There's a button to grab on, and then like you can, you know, press another button or press a combo of buttons and do special moves, like suplexes or pile drivers. You know, the people's elbow, you know, if you're playing as The Rock. It's fun. Like, I'm enjoying it. It's goofy as shit. It's not very difficult. Like, I think where this is really gonna, you know, draw in for me is when friends come over and it's like, we want to play something that's easy for everybody to play. You don't really have to explain it. Fighting games are good for that. But generally you can only play 2 players. This is a 4-player game, so I could just like hook up 4 controllers and play it that way, or I could play with my kids, you know, if they want to play. My son's the reason I got this. Like, he wanted to play it. The characters all look like, do you guys remember? So when I was growing up and WWF had toys, they were like these giant rubber dudes.
Yeah.
The set that came after that, they made them a little bit smaller. They were still cartoony looking, but they were like more like plastic action figure looking things. That's what these guys are. Like cartoony plastic action figures.
Okay, I was thinking of something else, and I forget what they were called. Because there was that period in the 90s where people would do the stretchable ones. Where you
stretch
can kinda,
Armstrong.
Not Stretch Armstrong, but like you get the wrestling figure, and you were able to like pose them to like muscles and flex and stuff like that. But it's like really weird. It's like it would be like a little rubber thing inside their arms that you could move, but it wouldn't like really stay. Like, it would naturally just bend back to its other position eventually.
Yeah, something like that. Like in a similar style, yes.
But the one thing I wanted to ask, and it's not even a complaint about the roster, because I think it's an old fighting game technique where you just unlock people over time.
Yeah.
I hear a lot of characters feel the same, because it's essentially like a handful of body, but you have like one or two special moves that's unique to them.
Yeah, so there's like four different classes of fighters. There's brawlers, technicians, high flyers, and all around, and like outside of their special moves, they do feel very similar. It's like, yes, like the Rock will do moves that, you know, the Rock does, like that you've seen, and they're like overly exaggerated, but for the most part, like, yeah, you're just, you know, doing atomic drops or backbreakers or suplexes. Like, it feels very similar. Punch, punch, kick, kick. There's like simple combos where it's like punch, kick, punch, or kick, kick, punch, kick, and they like do different things. It's not a very deep fighter. Like, it is super simplistic. But it's like when you get to do like the finishing moves or the special moves, that's where it's fun and like exciting, because it's like, oh wow, that's goofy as shit. Or you can like pick somebody up and throw them into the mouth of an alligator or something like that. Like, don't ask why. I don't know. But I've played like, I don't know, about 30 or 35 matches. They're really short, like less than 5 minutes a piece. I played about 30 or so matches. I finally lost one today.
Oh no.
The game's not difficult at all.
And I guess the other thing that it's like the stages, the rings aren't necessarily just rings. There are like environmental hazards as well, right?
Yeah. So like the one I'm on now is in the Everglades, and there are giant crocodiles off on the sides. And you can, you know, the stage, the arena looks like, you know, it's on the dock of a swamp, and you know there's a bunch of hillbillies in the crowd, and these alligators that you can pick up your opponents and toss them into their mouths, or they can do the same to you, because that's what Brock Lesnar did to me 4 times in a row. I just kept getting eaten by a fucking alligator. There's other, you know, each of the arenas has like a gimmick to it. I think I unlocked Detroit next, and evidently that one, like the entire ring will fall apart, and you can pick up pieces of the ring and beat each other with it. There's like stuff underneath the ring too, like you can get a steel chair, or for some reason, like I think it's like, oh, you know how Triple H would reach under the ring and get a sledgehammer out? Like, instead it's like one of those like toy hammers that like squeaks when you hit somebody with it. It does damage when you hit them, like they get hurt, but it's not a sledgehammer, it's like a cartoon hammer or something. It's very playful. I do wish that they had actually animated the story, instead it's told through comic books.
Mm-hmm.
Which is like it's like a comic book slide. The story is like goofy, it's whatever. But I wish they had like actually animated it to be more, I don't know if you guys remember like that WWF cartoon they had years ago.
Hogan's Rock and Wrestle?
Yeah. Yeah. Like this something like that. But you don't remember that. Like something like that, where it would just be fun to, you know, you have Stone Cold, he's like kind of your mentor, having like an animated Stone Cold talk to these like nobody wrestlers that you have to play as would be enjoyable. And I wish that they had a deeper, you know, deeper roster of older characters, like older wrestlers, like, you know, Andre the Giant's in it, Hulk Hogan, Jake the Snake Roberts. that might be it for old wrestlers. Like, I would like to see, like, Randy Savage or Ultimate Warrior. Like, guys like that. Instead, it's like
something in the DLC.
Sure. And they haven't announced any plans for it, but I assume that, you know, they will. The money, the in-game currency that you earn seems generous enough. Like, every time you level up, you'll get a nice chunk of change. And I've only, you know, 30 matches over, like, 3 or 4 hours of playing, and I have, like, 25 or 30,000 of these credits. And, yeah, there are expensive ones that are, like, 12 grand. Most of them are, like, 3,000 to buy. Like, I think Hulk Hogan is, like, 12,000 or whatever. But most of them are reasonable to purchase. And then they all have different skins as well. So, you know, if you want AJ Styles with red pants, you gotta, you know, save up your in-game bucks and do it that way. But I just want to unlock everybody so that when people are allowed to come out again and come over, we'll have, like, a game that we could kind of sit down and just all play together and, you know, bullshit and talk about. It's fun. It's nothing amazingly special, but it's fine. Which brings us to Super Mario 3D All-Stars.
Oh, goddamn time. You guys
need to stop. It's been a great night. We'll see y'all next week.
Hey, good night, Jeff.
Stop playing so many games. Play the Mario games.
I am playing the Mario games. I finished one of the Mario games.
Same.
I think that's what we're not talking about, then.
So everybody has played some of it at this point?
I haven't actually played it myself.
Oh, your son played some of it.
Yes.
Okay.
He played Mario Sunshine, actually, and said it was really hard and really bad, and moved on to a new game. Which is why I know that he's my child.
Did he move on to another Mario game on the collection, or did he just, like, say,
fuck Mario, peace out?
I'm pretty sure he peaced out and went on to, like, Pokemon or something. I don't actually know. Yeah.
Go ahead, Earl.
Remember that discussion we had a few weeks ago about Super Mario Brothers? And how I respect that game, yep. And I think it's a landmark game. And I think if given the opportunity, I think you should play it.
Yes.
But by today's standards, it is not, it does not age well.
Sure.
Well, let me sell you on Super Mario 64.
Yes, because, I am 100% in agreement with this.
I'm not.
Because Super Mario 64 is a landmark game.
Yeah,
I think if given the opportunity, you should play it.
I agree.
But by today's standards, Super Mario 64 is pissing me the hell off.
I agree.
I will say, I think it holds up well graphically. I think the game looks nice. I think the music is still amazing.
Mm-hmm.
It's so weird how much you remember of that game just from, you know, playing it as a child. I think it grows well to an extent because I will say this in its favor. I am happy that every Mario game after it improved the formula, and this is why it's dated. But
I'm not sure every Mario game after it improved the formula, but we'll get to that.
Almost every Mario. Okay, I'll put it another way. Super Mario 64 does not benefit from having Odyssey on the same system.
This is true.
I will give it the benefit of the doubt. I think we all played Mario 64 when it came out. We probably even played it after that. But that camera and me are going to come to blows at some point because I don't know what it was. When you were younger, you didn't have any alternative, and it made more sense with the N64 controller.
But there was nothing to compare it to.
Yes. Either. But anytime I'm trying to see something, the camera's like, I'm just like, I want to punch you in the face right now. Because I get it. The game's trying to get an ideal angle in its mind. And, like, sometimes it works. Most of the time it doesn't. Like, I was playing a game level today, and the camera's like, oh, yeah, you want to see the side of this? I'm like, no, I want to see ahead, because that's the direction I'm going. It's like, No, there's a wall next to you. I'm like, but I need to see ahead. There's something coming towards me. They're like, nope, you can see the sign. I'm like, I just want to see ahead. So I make it to that part of the UFO. It's a desert inside the temple, the pyramid, I should say. And I make it to the UFO. You go to the top of the pyramid. You get to the top of it. Okay, I'm like, I need to turn the camera around so I can see where I'm going to get to navigate to this star. Oh, no, Mario has too much momentum. He overshot that jump. You're going to fall four stories down. I'm like, okay. I turned off the game. I'm like, you know what? Me and you. There are moments in that game where I did the 100 coin hunt in Ba-Bomb Battlefield. I'm like, this is fun. It's nice. Nice, you know, decent. I mean, one thing, I don't know if everybody... It's super tiny compared to what I remember them being.
Oh, yeah, they're not as big as you remember.
No, like I used
to, which makes sense. Like, I mean, at the time when we first played them, those levels were huge, and we had never seen anything like it. Right, we never explored anything in 3D. But now when you look at it and compare it to even what comes next in Sunshine, those levels are tiny.
Yeah, and I will shine. I will say this from going from 64 to Sunshine. You could tell that's a generational leap. Like, Sunshine, I thought was really good visually.
Yes.
It's a very pretty game.
But yes, like, the camera is my big issue with Mario 64. But also, sometimes Mario is just like, I guess it's one of those things you don't recognize as a kid. Like, they gave no type of grip. If Mario, like, touches the edge wrong, he's flying down whatever surface he's on. I was playing the drop docks, and when you go into the submarine, go into the ship, and you just, like, simple platform, I feel with the platforms, I could do this in my sleep. Nope, Mario just missed it by edge, you're going to fall down. Oh, no, Mario overshot that one because his momentum won't make him stop on a dime. You're falling down that. I was like, I spent 10 minutes just trying to get up this damn stairs.
This is a great collection to see that evolution from like where they started with 3D Mario and then to kind of where they mastered his controls in Galaxy.
It's also like they're like the three consecutive games, like, you know, there was 64, then Sunshine, and then Galaxy. Like, that was the order. And like, like, what a run, and like, it's amazing that each, like, how much it evolved. Like, I was sitting there at the home screen the other day going, I can't believe that Galaxy came out 11 years after Mario 64. It seems like they're 27 years apart. You know what I mean? Like, it doesn't seem possible that we advanced that much in 11 years.
Honestly speaking, even going from Mario 64 to Sunshine, which is only 6 years apart, like, the difference is night and day between those two games. For better and worse. Yes. Well, I would even say, like, even like Sunshine giving you full control of the camera. That's a whole different subject we'll get to, but
it did
give you full control of the camera. And like you said, the
camera in 64 is more of, it's like on a swivel, right? Like, you only have like about 90 degrees on either side. Like, so it's not the full range.
And again, it makes sense. Even now, I still think it's cool that there's a actual storyline reason for that with the character actually holding the camera around Mario. I think that's a really cool thing. And there are times, if you look at reflections, you can see him. So that's really nifty. It's just that, like, in 24 years, the industry has moved beyond that. And it's just super frustrating. I think... If you can handle the camera, the core game still remains pretty good. The levels are still well designed. I think, you know, find it, like, if you've never played it, there's a ton of secrets to discover, which I think is always fun. Some of them are really up, but it's kind of nifty.
I think the difficulty ramp is, you know, it's acceptable here too. Like, it's not. I don't think, like, when we get to Sunshine, that game is all over the fucking place. Like, I never felt like, oh, you know, wow, what the hell is this? And then in 64, like, it always went, all right, this is building off of what we've previously done recently.
Okay. And I don't want to stand on Sunshine too much before we get to it, because I actually have some good things to say about Sunshine. But I will also give Mario 64 credit for not having us fight the same damn boss 5 times in the first 20 minutes of the game.
Yeah. Yeah, I like how there are different, you know, even, you know, it's like the first couple levels of 64, like you fight the, it's a big thing at the top, right? It's
Ba-bomb.
Yeah, you fight the Ba-bomb and then you fight the brick guy. Yeah.
Yeah.
So different boss characters in the first couple levels where.
And then funny enough, you don't fight any real bosses again until Bowser.
Yeah.
Because, yeah, like the water one doesn't have a boss battle as far as I remember. Like, you chase the tail, but there's not a boss encounter. And then the ice one, the snow one, doesn't have a boss encounter.
Are you saying you're not a big fan of the squid in Sunshine?
I
love it. Let's go back to 64 before we get. I don't know. I feel like
Go ahead. We go back to 64, Jeff.
I mean, I would disagree with you guys a little bit about 64. I mean, it sounds like you guys came around to more like where I'm at, where it's just like it's still a good game. Like it's still very playable to me. Like I guess the caveat for me is like I have only played up until like getting into the basement of the castle. So like. The first, I don't know, half hour or, you know, right. I'm not far into the game.
Early on, yes.
But, like, it feels old. I think it looks old. I mean, obviously, it looks old, but I don't know, like, all those things, it's still, like, I still play it and go, this is pretty good. Like, and like you said, like, the difficulty level goes,
it's smooth. I mean,
so far, it's still very easy. And like, you know, I can never separate it from how mind blowing it was.
And
there's still some of that residual, like when you play it, you're like, you could remember what it was like playing it at the time, just going like, holy shit. Like, you know, like, I can't believe this is real. Like,
oh no. And that is, and that's why that again, like what Chris and I was saying, it's one of the reasons why I remember this, like when you were a kid, when you first played this, these levels were huge and massive. And now I could get top of a bomb battlefield from the bottom to the top in like 2 minutes. Like, it's not a bad thing. It's just like the way your memory plays tricks on you.
Yeah. I don't think Earl and I are saying it's bad. It's just like it's very similar. Yeah, it's very similar to the original Super Mario Brothers, right? Where it's like this is a first crack at it. Yeah. It is. It's still good. It's just maybe it's certainly not the best example of it, and it should be played. Everyone should play it. It's still a good game.
I would love to see them do like a full remake just to see. I know people are disappointed they didn't do enough with this collection.
But at the same time,
HD. Like, I just wish it was widescreen.
Get some of that in Odyssey when you go back to the castle and some of that other stuff, right? So
yeah, I mean.
But not. But I get you. I will honestly say, and maybe this is just me, I actually didn't even notice it was like widescreen. I remember that being a big talking point, and I was playing the game, and you just kind of get swept into the magic of it all. Like, and then like I remember, oh yeah, it's not like full screen. But I'm like, I'm playing the game. I'm not even focused on the fact that there's black bars around it.
Dude, I like it drives me fucking mad, and it's like a thing with artsy movies now, where like we're doing 4x3. No, fucking drives me up a fucking wall.
So Jeff, were you playing it on your TV, or did you play 64 in handheld mode?
I've only played 64 on the TV.
Okay, so I only played 64 in handheld. I didn't really notice it then. So I do wonder if like blowing it up on my TV, if I would notice it a little more. But I think I was like Earl said, like, you know, when you're kind of just swept up into it because you're focusing on what is colorful and happening on the screen. So for me, like, I wasn't focusing on those black bars, but I could see how that would be annoying for someone. 64, I think we are in consensus. Still a good game. Yes.
It's the one I've played by far the least.
That is fair.
Which brings us to Sunshine, the middle game on this package.
Oh,
Come on. I wish I remembered it. I was going to invite Bobby to back me up on this. And he said he would come, but I forgot to tell him.
I will gladly debate Javi on the merits and not so merits of Mario Sunshine.
And he actually said to me earlier today on Twitter that he thinks that Sunshine is better than Galaxy.
He is an idiot.
I told him day drinking's bad for you. So
he has lost his.
I think he deserves some, like, his opinion deserves some deference on the show a little bit, because like that dude is better than this game, better at Mario in general than
just because you're really good at a game does not make
doesn't make
it good.
Like
I give his opinion a little weight because of it.
Jeff,
I give it less weight. He likes it more than he should because he's really good at it. I think that's.
But he's good. No, he's good at like every Mario game. Like it's not just like Sunshine is his game. Like,
which is fine, but that I'm not sure where he's coming at from this. We would have to talk to him specifically.
I bet you he would agree with some of the things I will say. But
so let's jump into it. Here's what I like about it. It's really colorful. Yeah. The music is good.
Yes.
That's it.
The whole
vibe. It has Mario in it.
The vibe of being like on this like island, and it's kind of like a summer vacation thing. Like I think it's awesome.
I hate summer, so that doesn't click for me, but I can see where somebody would like that.
I think the game is a huge like step beyond what 64 was graphically and in gameplay and kind of everything. Like I think the overworld is super interesting in it. Like the Isle Delfino, like I have a fun time exploring like Isle Delfino and actually collecting stars and coins and shit there, which turns out
you don't need for any particular fucking reason.
I mean, you know, if you want 100% the game, but yeah, like
don't want to.
And no. That's a flaw. I guess we could just kind of explain that right here. Like,
yeah.
Like in Odyssey, like you could just, you need X amount of moons to get the next level, right? Like, and you could get them any such way. And here, there's hidden stars and shit, but like they're kind of meaningless because you do need to reach a certain point in each of the main levels to beat the game.
Yeah. So, what I figured, and I have beaten Sunshine this week. I was actually thinking, oh, it's, you know, very similar to how Galaxy or whatever is set up, where you need a certain amount of stars to finish the game. And so when I first looked it up, they said 50. So I was just like, all right, I'm collecting the blue coins, I'm buying the stars, I'm collecting the alternate stars.
And that's all more stars. Fun. I think it's more fun. Like,
and then like, all right, and now I'm nearing 50. I could beat this. And then it's like, nothing's happening. I've hit 50. And so that I looked it up again, and I hadn't read all the way through. You have to beat the seventh stage in each of the levels. So the seventh episode
you have to
face off against Shadow Mario in each of the different levels. And that is in each of them, it is just you chasing him around, squirting him with water until he falls down. So
one of the few easy missions in the game.
Yeah. Well, I mean, there's other easy missions. It is so fucking inconsistent in how it is.
Dude, I think that this game... All right, so like my normal stress level playing any kind of fucking Mario game is usually like between a 3 and a 4. Playing fucking Sunshine at any point, I feel like I'm at an 8. Like, I am fucking stressed out in this game. I'm always just like, anytime they like introduce me to a level, you know how the camera will like pan over the level and you're just like, oh fuck, I gotta go through all that. Like, and I think the game is just brutal about it. Like, if you die doing a mission, like, you're kicked out of the level completely.
But that's a 64 as well.
Yeah, yeah, but 64 is never as hard. 64 is never as hard as this.
It's not true in all cases, though, which I find weird because there are some levels,
like the secret ones. You die, you respawn in the level.
Yes, so it's like where you know Bowser Jr. comes and takes away your jetpack and water hose, the flood. You know, when you die in those levels, it will respawn in them.
So it makes it worse because it seems like they knew, like, don't do that. Like, and they just do it all the time. It's like, dude, like,
why are you kicking me out, like, on this other level? Why do you kick me all the way back to the start?
I find the game to be, like, it's either very hard or a lot of times it's just, like, the path to getting to a star is so long. Like, I just did this one. It was called, like, the goopy whatever the fuck, where it's, like, the whole level is covered in goop, and you have to, like, get to the underside of the level and crawl around this.
Oh, yeah. Yep.
You know what I'm talking about now? Like,
yeah, the one that has the underground cages and stuff. Yeah.
And it's like no part of that is hard, really, but it's like it's such a long path that like if you accidentally press the wrong button at any point, you're like, God fucking damn it. Like,
yep,
like you actually I have to start over from now. Like 5 fucking minutes ago of what I was doing. Like it's just like the whole game to me, like it's funny because I don't remember it being I don't remember it this way. Like, I just remember loving it, and I still do love it a lot, but, like, holy shit, is it a hard game, dude, compared to, like, any other 3D Mario game? I think it's harder than, for sure.
Yes, but not in a... Because, I mean, part of it sometimes is, again, we kind of mentioned with 64. 64 is kind of frustrating, but it kind of does what you want. It's just the limitations of the hardware. Sometimes camera's like a drunk frat boy. Like,
it's so much better now, though.
No, like, it's not. It gets stuck on shit all the time. No,
it's just better because it's not inverted anymore. Both the X and the Y axis were inverted before, and it's like...
Oh, fine, yes. Like, but the camera itself still kind of sucks.
As you could,
you don't understand how happy Nintendo, I am with it.
You could just tell Nintendo was mad with it, because, like, anytime they literally will put question marks on stuff when the camera hides it.
Yeah.
It happens so often. Like, they knew this happened. And what I think happened is like, oh, they are, like, have a freeform camera now. We can make these huge, giant obstacle courses. The camera gets stuck. Like, they'll figure it out, right?
Except if you get anywhere near a ledge, like, Mario just flies off of it. Like, because he does not control super great.
He's made to control a flood, which is usually to compensate for you screwing up anything. The problem
he's suicidal.
The problem is whenever you have the non-flood stages, because he has just moves than he does in 64. But then he's more sense. There was one stage I played today, and it's like one of those stages with the rotating platforms. And I'm like, okay, I'm making a run for it. I'm doing well. And at part of it, like, Mario, like, you're running, and, like, the stage is moving, like, it's falling down. So I'm running backwards, but Mario's like, no, you did back and forth. That means I have to do a somersault. I'm like, no, don't do the somersault.
Are you talking about the big wooden block one, where it's, like, a bunch of wooden blocks, like, rotating there?
Yeah.
Yeah, I did that one last, I think I posted the video of that one last night.
So there's one towards, I think it's Noki Bay. It's maybe episodes. It's the one right after the flossing one, which is fucking terrible. The one where you play the eel dentist.
Yes,
terrible fucking level. But it's the one after that. So you have to go through this giant rope obstacle course to get to it, and then they take away your flood, and then it's this super long, like, you know, that platforming without the thing. And you have to jump through, you have to do the three jumps. So you have to, like, one, two, and then get the big jump on the three to reach the platform. And I had to keep doing it over and over again because he would do a backflip or, like, it's like you need to do this exactly perfect. And if you just twitch, like, a little bit, it throws Mario off and you either go flying off the platform or he does something stupid and you have to reset.
One thing I swear by, and I have a good reason why I swear by this, is I've had instances where it's like I get to the edge of a platform and I go to jump and I know I press jump and he just falls to his fucking death. And the reason I know this is a fact is because I played, you know, around this game, I played Mario Galaxy. That happened zero times in Galaxy. Now, Galaxy does have mostly spherical levels, so it's like
you're not falling after them, yeah.
But like it definitely has tons of parts where you have to do like harder platforming, and the controls are so much tighter and responsive in that when it comes to the jumping, especially. Like it's just I know it's not me. Like I know I'm not the one, and especially like I got you guys backing me up, like or at least Chris, you said.
Yeah, no, I agree with you on it. Yes.
Like it's just like there's times where just misses for some reason, and it doesn't feel like I did anything wrong.
And that is not like I thought. Maybe it is a because of the emulation. Maybe like something didn't translate there. No, like I popped Sunshine into the GameCube, and it handles the same. Like the camera is different, but like platforming wise, like that button press, like sometimes it doesn't register.
Just on the
original hardware, so
like you always feel that way when you miss a jump. Like you just feel like I pressed it, but like I swear I pressed it in this game. Like where I like going into the jump, I was super confident. Like I felt great, and then I was like, "What the fuck just happened?" Like I know I hit that jump. Like that's insane. Like and yeah. I've had it happen a couple times to me in this game. So. Okay.
I will say that like when you run a string of like doing some like good platforming because like the camera's working for you and the buttons are responding properly and you're hitting your special moves the right way, it feels great. But that's like 25% of the time for me.
I think like in a lot of ways I really really love how the game feels, like how the controls feel. Like I love the flood. I would love a new game with the flood, to be honest. Like, I guess maybe I'm the only one here, but I think it's really neat. I think it feels great. Like, I love just having that hover ability when you're doing jumps. I love that there's like a cool like progression to it, where you're like, oh, once I reach so many stars, I get this nozzle or that nozzle. And those nozzles are cool as shit. Like the one that shoots you super high.
I do like the pocket, and you need that for the final boss.
Yeah. So like, I mean, there's things I agree with you guys about. Like, there's problems with the game. Like, I can see now, but like, I still really do love the game, and I love hanging out in that world. Like,
it's a fun game, and I will say on a positive note as well. I also think it's one of the most visually distinct like Mario, or like everything goes, because like all of the enemies are relatively new for this game, or like some type of summer themed version of classic enemies.
Like, even like the residents, like the town people, whatever the fuck they are, like. Like, what are those things?
Okay, I will also say it was so weird because I completely forgot that this game is voice acted. So like, the whole it's not good. But the whole opening sequence threw me off when they started to talk, and they're talking like I expected like gibberish, and they're talking like human voices.
Yep,
dude. Small thing I love is the nozzle thing or the flood thing. Could be like Mario. Like I love that fucking. Was trying to tell you something.
Yeah. But that's also sometimes annoying.
I'm not a fan of the flood talking to you.
Dude, I love
it. It comes in handy when you're on that roller coaster one.
I just love his voice going, Mario. Like, Mario. Like, it's just super robotic.
So,
like,
so I think it on this, and I think this is one of the things that we should talk about, which is always going to be a huge. Clearly, this game was rushed out. You get that in the fact that you have to find 240 food coins, and then that converts to a number of stars. But the fact that like almost every like I said, you fight the same damn piranha plant in ink or in paint 5 or 6 times within the first hour of the game. You fight Petey Piranha multiple times. You fight the squid multiple times.
I just like them all. I like the squid boss. Like every time I see the squid, I'm like, fuck
it's
yeah,
a fun it's boss again. the first few times.
Yeah, it's like,
but like they do that. Like that's something Mario got in the groove of doing is like it's just the same boss over and over. Like
what other games do that?
Which I think is fine. Like if it was so, like you fight the squid guy right on the
Rico
in the harbor, right? Like where the ships are. You have to fight him multiple times there, but then he shows up again in Nico Bay, like. Like it's like, what, why is he like, I would be fine if like, all right, you have to fight, you know, the boss once or twice in each level. That's fine. But like, why is this boss showing up in other levels? Like, give me something
different. Was the game really rushed? I didn't know that.
Yeah, it was. I mean, again, like, I mean, that's because like that was like the GameCube wasn't doing too hot, and they figured like it was the first Nintendo system that hadn't launched with a proper Mario game, so they figured they'd get it out. Because I think the GameCube came out in November. This was out in August of the next year.
Yeah.
So yeah, that's why there's only 7 worlds in this game. Like, yes, you can make an excuse that they're very compact 7 worlds. There's only 7 compared to a 15 and 64. The fact that Shadow Mario is the 7th boss in every encounter, the fact that you have to chase him, I guess, 8 times, because you also do it in the overworld as well.
Oh, yeah, you have to chase him multiple times in the overworld, because that's how that's when you get your upgrades.
Yeah.
So what we're talking 7, 8, maybe.
Times, because you get to upgrade.
Probably 10 or 11 times you have to chase him.
It is what it is. But yeah, you could tell this game was rushed.
It's disjointed too. Like, you know, you have the worlds, and then you go in for each episode. But then, like, as you know, Jeff was talking about where they take away the flood mechanic. Those levels are just like, they're neat. I think they're well designed. Torture chambers for platforming.
Yes, but, torture chamber for sure.
But they're like fucking devoid of any personality. It's just like, we're gonna take some weird shapes and like create like these cool obstacle courses. There's nothing going on though.
No, and I will say this much, because I don't want to say one of them too much, because essentially they are the inspiration for the entirety of Galaxy.
Oh sure, like yeah.
Yeah, we could take floating platforms. You don't really have to design a background, right? We got a stage. But yeah, it's one of those things. It's also jarring, because I don't know. Okay, this has always been one of my complaints about Super Mario Sunshine, and this is a minor dumb thing, but I hate how they make so dumb in this game that she sees Super Mario next to Mario. She's like, Mario, and then like when Mario like when it's revealed to be Bowser Jr. and Bowser Jr. calls her Mama, she's like, Mama? Like, wait, you either knew or didn't know if you had sex with Bowser and gave birth to his kid, right?
Yeah. She's so goddamn moron in this.
Like, I mean, there's only so many ways this can happen.
Did you fuck the giant turtle guy?
Yes, no?
Then you did not have this baby. Oh, it's something. I don't know. I think you know, you look at Odyssey, and that's like the realization of what they were trying for here.
I think this is different. I don't know.
I don't know. It's like it's you know, each level, each of those levels is themed, but it is like here's this adventure, here's this thing you can go explore, here's this area, there's stuff to do. But we're not gonna segment it into you having to jump into it 8 different times, and like you can just get all your stars here. Like why can't I go in and find the Yoshi, get the orange Yoshi, and stick it on the merry-go-round, and then also get rid of the guy shooting missiles on the fucking beach. And like, why can't I do it all at once instead of you're going to drop me out and let me do it all?
I hear you on that. Like,
to be fair, I think that's a holdover from 64.
Yeah, very much.
That's what I'm saying. It's like, that's what I group it more in with. Like, this is just like an evolution of that.
But I think it's like you're trying to do an adventure game. Like,
as I said, the one difference between that and 64, though, is 64, y'all, you can collect stars if you come across them. With this one, you have to do specific missions. You can't really like, jump ahead.
Mm-hmm.
In 64, I was getting the shit out of order. You know, I'd be like, oh, there's the 8 red coins or whatever. You know, like, and Sunshine is dedicated, right? Like, once you enter the level, you're doing that thing.
Yeah, it's like you're going in and it's like this level, you need to collect the 8 red coins. And you might have to do that multiple times in a level, like, because there are multiple levels where it's like get 8 red coins, or it's do this specific thing, like get the orange Yoshi to the merry-go-round, slide down and slide down the thing and jump into the hole to go fight the fucking sandbird or whatever. That's a red coin level as well. But
yeah, I hear you on that. But I'm just saying, like, there's so many other things. Like, I get what you're saying. Like, I'm just saying that, like, there's other things to me that, like, think of this as way different than Odyssey. And like, I don't know, name a fucking Mario game, like a 3D Mario game that has a better overworld than Al Delfino. Like, I think it's easily the best one.
Yeah, the side to that is, like, just that, like, I feel like there's a reason they went away.
It matters, dude. I like to hang out there. Like,
but there's nothing Odyssey to do there.
There yeah, is. Odyssey. There's plenty of stars to get.
But it doesn't mean anything. That's the problem, right? It's just a waste of fucking time.
Like, no, I agree with you. It's a good overworld. I think it's nifty. But I feel like this is one of the reasons why I slightly prefer Galaxy 2 over Galaxy 1. It's like, you realize the overworld doesn't serve much of a purpose.
It doesn't, like, in Galaxy, but
it doesn't in any of these games, really.
Because the purpose is to, like, go through the actual level. Like,
if you made this game, though, let's say you made the same exact game, but said, okay, once you have 50 stars, you could fight the final boss, and you'd be like, yeah, the overworld's awesome. Like, because, like, to me, I still
wouldn't say the overworld's awesome. Like, I don't think it is. Like, it's a neat looking thing, but I would have been happier if I could have, like, you know, used my blue coins and found the shines in the overworld and just gone and fucking fought, you know, done the terrible final level and fought the very easy boss at the end of it. I would have been much happier than having to go through all the levels and fight Shadow Mario each time. But there's no real purpose in having the overworld, because you don't need those shines, like, unless you want 100%.
Fine.
No, I mean, you can like it, Jeff. Like, it's perfectly.
No, liking it is wrong, Jeff.
To me, I just know that you're wrong. It doesn't serve a purpose, which is, I agree with Earl on this. It's like why I enjoy Galaxy 2 more.
Because it just doesn't wait.
Just give me the fucking levels. That's what I want out of a Mario game. I mean, the only Galaxy Mario.
But the overall in Galaxy is like, it's almost like walking across. It's almost like a map. Like, it isn't
because, like, part of it, and it's the same thing with Sunshine, is you have to navigate to these stages instead of being like, oh, can I just pick from a menu that I want to go to Noki, like, Bay or something like that?
Bring up the chart, right? That, like, because you can bring up the map. If I could just click on that and say I want to go here, I would have been way happier. Because when you die, when you die, it's like, it doesn't, like, sometimes it'll kick you out to that, you know, you're where you just died from. But, like, if you die, it's like all the way back to the middle of the thing, and you have to run all the way around again.
In Galaxy?
No, in Sunshine. Like, if you have to restart, always restart. And it's like, all right, now go all the way across the fucking map. Like, there's no reason for me to be out here. Maybe if there was a reason, then I would enjoy it more, but. It's like I have to run all the way to the far side of the map to you know, jump in the cannon to shoot myself over to the theme park. But run all the way across the other map. We'll get the cannon, the rocket, and shoot myself to the top of the tower, which that's always fun, shooting to the top of the tower. But
yeah, I will say, I mean, probably because I haven't gotten to the bullshit yet, I have been enjoying my time with Sunshine more than I remembered. I think early on, it's a pretty fine game. I think it's uneven in some of the stuff it asks you to do, but I think it is fun. I like using FUD. But yeah, there are some stuff where it's like, here you could tell it's an odd ball product. If Super Mario 64... is Super Mario Brothers in analogy. This is Super Mario Brothers 2, where it's neat and fun to kind of see from a historical standpoint. It's just a weird entry in the franchise.
I like it. I love it. I want some more of it.
Try so hard.
Finish it, Jeff.
I don't know. That's all I know.
No, I mean finish the game.
Oh yeah, I'm working on it. It's very hard. It's that's the one thing is like it's very like. That's why I like doing the overworld shit more because that stuff's not as hard. Like the fucking your level is like, oh shit.
And that's another thing that you know Sunshine and it rectifies in Galaxy 2, 3D World, and Odyssey. In fact, I think in Odyssey there are no lives, right? Like you don't really.
It's just coins.
Like you don't have like a there's like a live counter or whatever. Yeah. But in this, like you can't really bank lives like you can in other Mario games. Like there aren't a lot of extra lives lying around that are easy to get to.
Yeah,
and you're not getting 100 coins. Like,
and you're gonna die
a lot.
But if because this also it does the 64 thing, right? Where even if you bank them, you actually don't get to keep them.
The coins or
the lives?
No, you do get to keep the lives.
Okay, because I know in 64, if you reset the game, it goes back to 4.
That's a question I don't know. No, because like I came back and I had 8 lives still.
Okay.
So that was the most I ever got to was 8 lives.
I don't know what lives mean in these games because that game over just means. Nothing?
You go back to the beginning, yeah. Like, not to the beginning, just to the, like, middle of the map and restart.
But that's about it.
Yep. And then Galaxy, I don't know how much of that you guys played, but what I played, very good.
I did not want to play Galaxy, because I'm like, if I play Galaxy, I know I'm not going to go back to the other two.
That's fair. I played the first level of Galaxy, like the, you know, the one right after Bowser kind of like attacks the town.
Yeah.
Like this is cool. And then went and hate played Sunshine. Well, I didn't hate play it at first. I started out trying to play it normally and then I hate finished it.
Yeah.
Jeff, you play any more Galaxy?
What's going on?
Did you play any more Galaxy?
I played all of Galaxy.
Oh, you finished Galaxy.
Yeah.
Nice.
I'm sorry, I stepped away for 1 second.
No, it's fine.
So I'm gonna hear Jeff.
Oh, I didn't see that you were back on the.
What did you think?
I think that one. I think I was silly for going. I'm gonna play this game, and then I'm gonna play this game, and then I'm gonna play this game. I started on Sunshine and I started sampling everything, and as soon as I started sampling Galaxy, I played through the whole fucking thing because that's the best 3D Mario game. It is. It's just Galaxy's fucking perfect, dude. Like I have like zero issues with that game. It's fucking amazing. They balanced the difficulty. The game looks amazing. Has like the best soundtrack. I feel like I'm in Disney World, walking around the overworld with the fucking music. Galaxy's great. Like, am I the only one that's like played it like so far? Like on the
yeah, like I said, I didn't want to play Galaxy because I knew like going backwards would be difficult.
It's like once I finished it and I went back to Sunshine, I'm like in the Sunshine now again. Like I'm totally into it. But like once you start playing Galaxy, you're just gonna be drawn to it. Like that's all you're gonna want to play because it's objectively better than the others. Like it just is, dude. Like it's one of the best games ever made.
Yeah, that's why I'm glad I only played like the first level and was like, all right, go over here because if I kept like bouncing back and forth, I would have definitely been like, I am just gonna play Galaxy now.
I mean, I guess
from me. Have no complaints from me. Yeah. Galaxy being the best one.
It really is like, just having replayed basically all of them recently, except Galaxy 2. Like it really is. Like it's,
and
it made me want a Galaxy 3 more than an Odyssey 2. To be honest, like that's how much I thought Galaxy.
I think Odyssey does a good job it's
amazing.
Odyssey does a great job of evolving the formula of 64 and Sunshine. I think Galaxy is a different style, which is more what I like. But
what
Odyssey
I want out
itself,
of, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Odyssey is still a great game. I mean, honestly speaking, if given the choice, I would go with the Galaxy 3, then a 3D World 2. Then I would go with every of the open world Mario games.
Yeah. I mean, give me whichever, I guess. But, like, I really do think, like, a Galaxy 3 would be so fucking amazing. Like, man, this game is so fucking good. Like, I don't even know what to say other than that. Like, everything about it is awesome. Like, it's just... And I guess, you know, since you guys have played at least a little bit, we could talk about, like, its translation to the Switch. Like, I think it plays great on the Pro Controller. Like, I have actually no problems with it. I do think it's weird playing it handheld, though. Like, having to touch the screen.
It is strange. It's kind of grabbed the little bits, like, while you're running. Yeah.
When you played, do you use the Pro Controller or do you use the Joy-Con?
I use the Pro Controller, and I think it feels totally fine. Like, I'm using the Pro Controller as a pointer right as I'm playing at the same time. Like, it's very easy. Like, it's not super taxing on the mind or anything. It's super easy to do. Like, oh, I'm flying through the air, just wiggle the controller around a little bit and collect the fucking star bits. It feels good to me. Like, it feels fine.
Since you finished Galaxy... Remind me what the star bits even do.
They
don't do anything, really. feed the Yumis to...
Yes, yeah.
On the certain paths.
There's like, outside of each level, there's, this little floating, puffy star guy.
Yes.
And, like, called Luma, right? Like, he'll be like, if you feed me 400 star bits, then I will, like, it basically gives you, like, a secret level.
Got it.
But near the end of the game, it's like, if you feed me 1,200 star bits, like, it's a lot. You need those in order to get pretty much optional stars. But, like, they're also, like, the way it should be, where it's like, as soon as you reach 60 on this game, you could go to the end. So those optional stars are
And
just
you actually,
good.
I mean, I don't know if anybody's going to do it, but you actually do have to... beat the game. You have to beat the game if you actually want to get 120.
Yeah, so I beat it, and it's like you could start over again or something like that.
But you can't finish. You can't get all 100 first go because some of them don't open until you beat Bowser. It remains the only 3D Mario game that I have gotten everything in. Well, not everything, because after you do that, they open up Luigi's. Play, which is then the same game with Luigi in 3D, with all of his wonky physics and everything.
Yeah. Yeah, so, like, after I beat this one, like, it started me up in the first level, and it was, like, it was the purple coin challenge that was in at least one of the other levels in the game, where, it was, like, it's just, like, get 100 coins. But it seemed to me like they were going to do that in every level now. Like, there's just 100 purple coins everywhere at all times. I don't know, something like that.
Yeah, yeah.
So... So technically you don't really need to do the motion shit then.
Like, I mean, no,
you have
parts,
to, I guess.
Parts.
I remember enjoying them.
Yes, you have to do like to do the mana ray,
and
you don't really need to collect the bits. Like, you don't need to be like,
I mean,
okay, I would just say just
again, like, I think have you not played it with a Pro Controller?
I've only played that first level.
It feels fine, dude.
I played it handheld, so I played like, but touching the screen. Yeah,
that is weird to me. Yeah, then you're like taking, playing it on the Pro Controller is same. It's the same thing. Like, you're doing the same. When you play the Wii version of the game, you're thinking about what you're doing with the buttons and everything, and then you just kind of wiggle the fucking Wii remote on a little bit.
I'm asking specifically because our friend Walt in our private chat, like, he doesn't want to do the motion control shit.
Wondering
if he could play it without having to worry about the bits. The only stuff where you'd have to worry about motion control is like when you're on the mana ray or like some of that stuff.
Pretty much. I mean, yeah. Play Galaxy. If you're insane, if you bought this collection, like,
and don't want to play the best one on it.
It, like, by far, like, it's just you're crazy. Like, it's just like, I think Earl joked like last week, it's Mario Galaxy plus some other games. Like, that's kind of the reality of this, because like this is the game that holds up really well. Like,
give me Galaxy 2 as well. Let me download it. Like,
I'd pay $20. I'd pay,
yeah,
$20. I'd pay more, but
yeah, I would have paid $60 for Galaxy and Galaxy 2 by themselves.
I know, yeah. I know.
Yeah, and I mean, I like I said, it's not, again, 64 and Sunshine are good games on their own, but
I would have paid $60 for Sunshine 2, by the way.
I would have paid $60 for if they did like a full on like
remake
of 64 and Sunshine. Guys, there's some quality of life changes. I mean, I think 64 is the easiest one, really. Like, give me a camera and have Mario kind of stick, and we'll be golden. Oh, and I will also say, and this happens with all of them, the swimming controls suck.
Every single one. They're different in every one, and they all suck.
I like Galaxy just because their solution was to give you a turtle shell, which controls somewhat normally, and I'm like, yeah, I will take that. Because everything else, like Sunshine, for a game designed around water, the fact that it sucks is awful.
Yeah. And then do that dental level.
That was, like, for like most part, I'm like, I just hate water levels in general. I'm like, whatever, but I thought it controlled fine. But like that, when you have to like do that teeth cleaning thing, and then you have to like try to go get coins because you're running out of air, and like it just controls so bad. Hate it, dude. Hate it so much.
The way I ultimately finish it is if you hit those purple things, it'll create oxygen bubbles, and if you go through them, it'll get you more air. So I would do a tooth, climb up, hit the purple snot that comes out of the eel's mouth until I busted up some oxygen, and then it will fill up the oxygen all the way instead of just one little meter.
All right.
But it's such a fucking annoying level. Anyway.
Hate it.
It's a good collection.
I assume Tony's still here with us.
What? Who's Tony?
Tony was like, hey, you guys are talking about this game that like my son played, but not me. It's a good collection. It could have done with some better work, but
you should play it, Tony. We should talk about it.
Oh yeah, I definitely want to play Galaxy. I don't know if I'll play the other two, but I'm definitely gonna get into Galaxy.
Anything coming out next week? I think Mafia is out tomorrow. And I don't know if there's anything else out before the end of the month.
I'm assuming we will have some impressions of it next week, but Mario 35 comes out next Thursday.
Oh, yes. So we should definitely try to play that a couple times before we record. That'll be fun. That's October 1st?
Awesome. And, yeah. And then I guess we are kind of in the final phases of this launch.
Yeah, we are, what, six weeks away from launching of new consoles that are coming out 2 days apart. So.
Yeah, and I was just thinking I might want to get one because it's a week after the election, so one way or another, I'm either going to want to celebrate or be in despair and just throw money at stuff, so we'll see.
Yes. Agreed on that. I kind of wish that they came out the week before the election, so then if it doesn't go the way we want, I could just bunker down and play video games until I die.
Yeah, that would be also because next week is the first debate, and I tell my friends we're doing it Zoom because I can't. I'm not going to be able to do that on my own.
Yeah,
I'll be dropping stuff in the group chat because I don't know. It's always fun to have one going when you're watching the debate. And like, despite everything and how fucking scary everything is right now, like I still actually look forward to two debates. I always have. Like, it's a really bad nerd thing with me.
So, it'll be interesting.
Stakes are way higher this time, so it's like hard to be like, yes, the debates.
Yeah.
So we're like, oh god, I hope fucking Biden does okay and everything goes okay. Like,
The problem is sometimes, I think I mentioned this before, I played Fortnite with friends, and there was one time I was friend, and his strategy was to just drive a car into other people. And we're just watching him like, this is terrible, this is awful, and it shouldn't work, and it ended up working, and he ended up winning. And that's what I imagine debating Trump is like, because you can plan, you can have answers, and he just... He has
to start talking about fucking some QAnon conspiracy on you, and you'd be like, what the shit?
Yeah. I think you attack him. I think you spend the entire time mocking him, and he'll.
Yeah, I just don't. It's hard for me to picture like Biden like doing like right. a kind of smackdown, but like
but Biden,
I think Biden will have a disciplined message, and that will be effective against him. Like I do think like it's not hard to fucking
to
like crucify Trump at this point.
Yeah, and it's gonna be one of those things where. You know, Trump supporters are like, oh, Sleepy Joe and all that shit. But once they both get on the same stage and you see one is actually competent.
That aspect alone is going to be – it's going to decide the election. Like, I do have confidence that Biden is a smarter person than Trump. Like, you know what I mean? Like, yeah, Biden's not, like, my dude. Like, he was never, like, the guy I was gunning for, but, like – he's normal person. Like, you know what I mean? Like, and he knows, like, the dude would know, like, he's been, in the government for his fucking whole adult life. Like, he knows what he's talking about. Like,
right. Yeah, but, so, I don't want to stress my, I'm playing video games, we're talking about it. This has been a week. I mean, there's other stuff that we are not even going to touch.
Yeah.
So, yes, say goodnight, Jeff.
Good night.